216, the Link to the Past Randomizer podcast. I am your host, Fear Agent, back with another excellent show. Today on the show, we've got Kazedin, a member of the League Team JKLOL. Previously talked to Leoria and had Jesse on the show. And saving the best for last, we've got Kazedin today. Had a great time just learning about Kazedin, hearing the story. You know, we've raced each other a couple of times here and there, and the real benefit of the show is that I get to learn and spend time with everyone in the community. And I don't know, I just really enjoy it and really enjoy talking to Kazedin. I think you'll enjoy it too. I like to record these intros right before the episode comes out. So it's Sunday, the 3rd of September. I find that it's always funny when you have a busy day, how much busier it can be. So I've spent the entire morning in the emergency room with my son. He was outside playing in the backyard with his friends, playing in the dirt. And as kids will do, they were throwing rocks and just horsing around. And he got his finger smashed and cut open by a brick. And so I spent the entire morning in the emergency room. Gosh, the emergency room here is awful. We were there. His finger is just like pouring blood. And we were there for over an hour and 45 minutes in the waiting room of the emergency room. So they wouldn't even see him. He fractured the tip of his finger and the cut went from like his fingernail all the way to the back. It's pretty bad. So he's got to get stitches and kid stuff, you know, kids messing around playing with rocks and stuff, but it's already a busy day. Just adds to it. Got the 216 fantasy draft here in a little bit. And after that, we're going to be doing another draft here on 216. The last one was so much fun. We drafted the Legend of Zelda series. This time we're moving away from Zelda and we'll expand beyond just drafting series. But we're going to draft the Super Mario Brothers series. So all of the mainline Super Mario Brothers games, and we decided to throw in the RPG games. So Super Mario RPG and the paper games as well. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Just a busy day. And then the stress of, you know, seeing my son come in crying like I've never seen him before, and his finger just tore open, just adds to the stuff that's going on. It's just one of those days. There's rando stuff going on. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. League registration closed. I think they had the most teams sign up that they've ever had, so that's pretty cool. Yeah, other rando stuff we can get to next week. But today, let's focus on our interview with Kazedin. So let's get to it. Here's Kazedin. All right, Kazedin, super excited to have you on the show, man. I think this completes the whole JKLOL team, which is pretty cool. Sorry you were the last one of JKLOL.
I mean, you know, someone has to be the last, right?
Someone does have to be the last. Yeah, I'm just super excited to talk to you. I know we've had a little bit of interactions. I know we've done some racing together and stuff in the past, but I don't really know your story. So thanks for doing this, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
So as far as gaming goes, were you gaming as a kid?
Yeah, I pretty much always have been.
Really? Did you start with the Nintendo? With the original Nintendo?
I did. Kind of funny story. Back in elementary school, I had a friend who I met. He's Chinese. I'm English. He didn't speak much English at the time. But it found out he had a Nintendo, except it was red. And he had a cartridge with like 150 games on it. It was like one of the bootleg China cartridges on a Famicom.
That's awesome.
So like we became friends real quick and we were just always playing.
That is awesome.
I think like the most memorable game I have from back then was we would play Bubble Bobble all the time.
Oh yeah. Such a good co-op.
Contra. Yeah. It's so much fun.
Man, Contra is a game that not many people have talked about, but as far as NES games go, was probably my most played NES game. I mean, once you put the code in and you got 30 lives, it's like, let's go to town. Yeah, like
you try playing the game as it's intended and you realize like just getting past the first world is almost impossible. So you have to do the cheat code and then it's like, okay, this is free now.
Yeah.
And then it's just
fun. It's still hard though. I still had a hard time as a kid, but.
Yeah. Like you can still lose with the 30 live code and it's like, can we just get infinite?
For sure. Yeah. Okay. So you had access to a lot of different games then with your friend, right?
Yeah, I did. I had that. Well, I got my NES. Oh, I don't even remember what year it was. Probably around 80, 86, 87 or something. It wasn't immediately when the NES came out. It was a little bit into its life cycle. But I got that first game I ever got. When, I don't know if you've ever even heard of it, Rygar.
Oh, yeah. I loved Rygar. Yeah,
that's a great one. Such a good game.
Yeah.
I remember
another tough one.
Breaking that game. Like, I don't think I ever beat it because, yeah, the game is insanely difficult. But, like, you get on the overworld overhead levels and you could just start glitching all over the map. It was so broken. But you could just run everywhere and find stuff. And I have a lot of fond memories of that game.
Yeah, so do I. I think that was like the first game that sort of, even more so than Zelda, gave me like a love for fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's even more fantastical than the original Legend of Zelda. At least in my mind it was. Maybe I'm wrong.
But it was weird because like when I got the NES, I got it for Christmas and I was kind of expecting, it's like, oh, I'm going to have Mario and Duck Hunt and all the stuff that comes with it. And the set I got was just the control deck that didn't come with any games, just came with the two controllers and the system. And then the game I got was Rygar. It's like, I'd never heard of this as a kid and put it in play. Like, oh, this is cool. This is something I've never seen before. It's something I haven't even played, you know, even with that 201 cartridge I used to play at my friend's house. It's like, I've never seen this. This is cool.
Did you end up getting the original Zelda?
I did. I had Zelda. I did play, I think I rented Zelda 2 a little bit, and it's like, this is not the same game.
Right.
And it's insanely difficult. But yeah, I did play the original Zelda. I remember, I forget if you put in the name Zelda or the name Link and you get to start on the Master Quest immediately.
Yeah, I think it's Zelda.
I think it's, you put Zelda as your name and then you get to start on the Master Quest. And like, I don't think I ever beat the game as a kid. I still don't think I've ever actually beaten Zelda 1 now that I think about it. I've played it. I've been in all the dungeons and like I would get to the Master Sword, but I never finished the game because it was pretty brutal.
It was brutal, especially as a kid, man. Mm-hmm. Like you could tell me where to go and I still didn't mean I could do it, right?
Like I had the Nintendo Power to read and look at the maps and like, okay, you go here. This is how you get all the hearts and all the weapons as early as possible. And the game is still brutal. Mm-hmm. It's just hard.
For sure. So what was your favorite on the original NES? Did you have a favorite that you could think of?
It's hard to say. If I had to pick one, it probably would be Zelda. Like that's probably game that I remember spending the most time just replaying the beginning levels and restarting it. That and like Rygar obviously has memories because it was the first game ever got.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, like Zelda was kind of where it was.
Okay. Did you continue on with the Super Nintendo?
I did. Yep. Yeah, okay. Same thing. Like I was a little late to the party. I didn't get it right away. My same friend, he got a Super Nintendo from Japan pretty much the day it launched in Japan. And we're playing Mario World before it's even available in the US.
That's awesome.
And then I'd go home and like fire up Super Mario Brothers. Like, I want to keep playing, but this is what I have. And start playing. It's like, this is not even remotely the same. But I did eventually get one. Unfortunately, I ended up getting it by trading in my NES. So like a lot of my old consoles and old games, I don't have anymore, which kind of sucks. Like I wish I would have kept them, but same time, like when you're a kid, you don't care. You just want to get the new latest and greatest game and system and play something new. So
yeah, you're not thinking long-term. You're not thinking about when you're older and, you know, it'd be cool to have that. You know, you're just thinking, I want the new thing.
I wanted to play Super Mario World and the new Zelda and like all the cool new games with the good graphics. I was like, I want to do that. They look fun.
So what games were you playing? Was Link to the Past one of the big ones?
Link to the Past, I very much remember fully 100%ing that game and finding 20 hearts. And I remember thinking like, oh, I found the gold sword, thinking it's a secret. Like it's not even, you're not even supposed to have it because the game would tell you, I think in the story, like how to get the silver arrows, but it doesn't tell you anything about upgrading the sword. You just kind of have to be like, well, it upgraded my bow. What if I throw my sword in? What happens?
Yeah.
And you get the upgraded sword. Like, oh, cool. It's like crazy powerful now.
Yeah, for sure. Any other like wacky games or games that you were playing that
On SNES, I mostly played a lot of like the mainstream stuff, nothing too crazy. That I did get into N64 after. Well, even going back to SNES, Mario Kart was a big one.
Sure. Yeah.
That was one I spent a lot of time on, just getting frustrated at friends in battle mode.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I was pretty good at like the Grand Prix or the time trial stuff. Mm-hmm. I was never as good as my friends in battle mode. So I was like, it was literally a battle. It's like, which mode are we going to play? We're going to play the mode that I'm good at, or the mode that you're good at. It's like, one of us is going to win. It just depends on which mode we pick. So
Yeah. Mario Kart's a great one for co-op for sure.
Yeah. Mario Kart and Mario Kart 64.
Yep.
Just upped it. Get a big screen TV, 4-player co-op in the same room.
Hell yeah.
GoldenEye, same thing.
Yep.
Run around like knives only.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah. In some place big, like the temple, where it's just like hard to get around. And so much time played.
You remember the only gun you'd ever find was a club. It's like, oh, I don't even know what this, what I've never even heard of this in real life. It's just it's just like, we just made a really crappy gun that no one wants to use, and we'll call it a club.
Yep. Were the games that you're playing and playing with friends, did that sort of hit that competitive itch as a kid, or did you even have a competitive itch as a kid? Were you playing sports?
Yeah, I mean, I was never really into sports. I did have like that competitive itch. I don't know that I recognized it to the same level I do now with Rando.
Sure.
But like, I always wanted to do really well when I played games, or like try and get as far as I could, or break games open and just do as much as I could with it. But I don't know that I recognized it necessarily as just being straight up competitive, because I was never in football or anything. I was actually usually always in band, because I was avoiding PE class because I didn't want to do it. Sure. So I would join marching band. But at the same time, like, there is a level of competition in that too. It's just it's a different kind. You know, it's not a physical thing as much, even though it is somewhat physically demanding being out there and marching in the sun, but
it's not
the same as football, you know.
It's not the same,
it's a different level.
It's different, but
the competition is still there.
Exactly. So. Yeah, for sure. And marching band, I don't know what instrument were you playing?
Oh, I played a little bit of everything. I started out on clarinet. I changed over to sax, which plays basically the same. And then by high school I was playing trumpet.
Oh, okay.
So a mix of a bunch of different stuff. I played baritone for a little bit. Pretty much any brass or woodwind I've played to some degree, with exception of trombone, because I could never get the slide positions down. It just wasn't happening.
Sure. But nothing too heavy to carry for marching band.
Sometimes I did. Like, there was a time when I was playing a baritone. And I was having to walk to and from school, which was like 3 miles, carrying that thing. And that thing's like 20 pounds, 20, 30 pounds. Like, I don't even know how heavy it was, but it's a big case. Carrying that thing home was not fun.
Yeah, but marching with it too is not the most comfortable.
No, it's really not. Like, but the thing is, it doesn't really matter what you're playing. Like, the uniforms are so heavy.
Oh, right.
And when you're here in Southern California, and like, depending on what time of year, it can get close to middle of summer and like, it's hot when it's 90 plus out there and you're wearing this multi-layer super heavy uniform. Like, you're just standing there sweating all day.
Sure. So you did find a bit of competition as far as like where you were in the band with the school band. Okay.
Yeah. Like, we would go to like the different competitive events, whether it was marching competitions or there were concert bands where we got graded, and like different schools in the districts would be, it was some level of competition where you would get scored and find out where you placed among different schools within your district or your region. So like there was competition there. We were never the greatest, but it was definitely a thing.
Did that continue on past high school? Were you, I don't know, in band, or I don't even know if they call it band in college or not, but.
No, I never continued that in college.
Okay.
So I kind of picked that back, the competitive side of stuff back up, video game wise with Rando, really. It was a few years before that I actually joined with some friends from WoW. We joined a tournament for Heroes of the Storm 1 year, just like, let's see what happens. Let's see if we can do anything. And then I know we got swept in the first round, but sure. We put on a reasonable show. Like, it wasn't completely terrible, but yeah, we got beat pretty bad. But that was probably the first online competitive thing I did.
Okay. So it sounds like you were a pretty big Nintendo fanboy growing up. Mm-hmm. Did that stay the same as the console wars began to heat up a little bit between the Xbox and the PlayStation and stuff?
I mean, it kind of did, but once PlayStation came out, like, that kind of ended. I never really went over to the Sega side of things. Mm-hmm. I think the only Sega system I ever owned was a Dreamcast towards the end of its life.
Oh, okay.
Right after they were starting to cancel it, like, you could go into Best Buy and get them for $20.
Yeah.
So you buy that for $20 and then you get $20 worth of blank CDs and you just burn it from all your friends. And that's why the Dreamcast failed, because you could just burn games with, there was no copy protection at all on it.
Oh, really?
Pretty much. Oh, no, you didn't have to chip it or anything. You just put a burned disc in, turn it on, and it worked. There was nothing to it. It was
I totally forgot about that. Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. So I still think that's a large portion of why it failed, because like, people just weren't buying games.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, because the games were good on the Dreamcast. Yeah.
No, they had some really good games. A lot of the problem was, like, they had the 32X came out, then they had the Saturn, which was kind of a flop. There was rumors of Neptune, whatever that was going to be, which never happened. And then by the time they came out with Dreamcast, it was just too little too late at that point.
Yeah.
So I never really got into that. I did do PlayStation. That was a lot of fun.
What drew you to the PlayStation?
360.
What drew you to the PlayStation? Was it Final Fantasy? Because I feel like that's kind of...
Final Fantasy was a big one, yeah.
Yeah, the big one.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VI is probably my favorite game of all time.
Oh. Like,
it's just so well done.
Were you playing that one as a kid? Because that one...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I got that the first Christmas it was available as a Christmas present, and I turned it on, and I spent hundreds of hours in that game just... getting everything and replaying it more than once. But that game was so good. It's still one of my favorites to this day.
So going from 6 to 7 was a pretty big leap as far as
it was
the change and just everything. It felt like it was a completely different kind of series at that point.
Yeah.
Were you still drawn into what 7 was offering?
Yeah, no, I was. I really enjoyed it. I think at the time when it came out, like, for a while, it was kind of my favorite game because, you know, it was the newest, latest, and greatest. Sure. Mm-hmm. But then after that new shine wore off, like, the game does not hold up. If you go back and play the original Final Fantasy VII today, like, the rose-colored goggles of what that game looked like back in the day was incredible. But you look at it today and it's like, this doesn't look good. Like, sure. There's like 7 polygons per character. It's terrible. Right. Like, the game is good. The story is great. The graphics are not good. And it's kind of clunky.
Did you play the remake?
I did. Yeah. Eventually. It took me a little while. The remake is great. I was a little hesitant on it because of the change to the combat system from the classic turn-based. Mm-hmm. Kind of pushed me away. But eventually, when I gave it a try and pushed through it, like, it's really good. I really enjoyed it.
Cool.
And I'm looking forward to the next chapters. I've kind of accepted the differences in the story. Like, I know they changed some stuff, and there's kind of expecting that there's going to be even more changed in the last 2 chapters. But kind of wait and see. I just kind of accepted, like, yeah, this is all right.
Sure. And you still have the original, right? You can always go back to the original.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the original is still there. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah. So you moved on to, like, PlayStation and Xbox. You said you got a 360.
Yeah, I had a 360. It was probably the last PS2 and 360 were probably the last real consoles that I really got into very much.
Okay.
And they were PS2. I had a decent amount, but 360 was kind of limited.
Just because of the games or
somewhat the games, but it was more by that time I was just going more towards the PC side of things. Kind of joined in on that. Like, it just, there's so much more you can do with a PC.
Sure.
I ended up just kind of switching over. Like, I still play console games from time to time, and there are some that I like, but especially nowadays, like, most games that are out on Xbox are also on a PC.
Right.
And if you have a PC that can run them, like, why do you need an Xbox? I don't right. I don't see the point. Like,
right.
PlayStation still has some exclusives, or at least time exclusive stuff, like Final Fantasy 16 is only on PS5 right now. It'll come out on PC eventually, but it's going to be 6 to 8 months.
So. Right. Right. Where's Nintendo in all of this? Did you stop playing and keeping up with the Nintendo consoles?
No, I had a DS Lite. I had a 3DS. I have a Switch. Like, I still play them. Not like I used to, largely because of time. Like, once you have a full-time job and everything, it's a lot harder to have time for gaming.
Totally.
But yeah, I do still have a Switch. I had a GameCube.
Okay.
GameCube was fun. I have all of the Metroid Primes from the Wii GameCube onto Wii.
Oh, right.
Those are all, you know, great games.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So when do you start getting into PC games, and what PC games were you playing?
So PC was, I got into it in junior high. I always wanted a PC. My dad always said no, because he knew the first thing I was going to do when we brought it home was install games on it. He's like, I'm not buying you a $3,000 video game machine.
Yeah.
Eventually he caves and he's like, we're getting it, but this is only for school. You're not playing any games on it. I'm like,
yeah,
okay, I get it. I understand. And then the day we brought it home, I already had the discs for SimCity. And that's awesome. loaded that on the same night. And I told him, this is the only game I'm going to put on it, I promise. That ended up to be completely a lie, but
sure.
Like, that also kind of kicked off to get me into my career. Like, I work in IT now, and that probably would not have happened if I did not have that first PC and start tinkering with it and breaking it and fixing it and just mostly being self-taught on everything. On the PC, I just kind of figured it out as I went along, and I got in early enough that things were easy to learn.
Sure. And then
once you learn it, keeping up is a lot easier than jumping in from scratch when you're later on.
Right. So the PC kind of grabbed a hold pretty early with that SimCity. You could also even sell SimCity to your parents, I think, as like, oh, this is kind of like educational.
Yeah, it's educational. Like, I'm learning city management and finance management. And it's like, yeah, no, they're not going to buy that at all. But he just kind of shakes his head and like, okay, I guess. And then, like later on, the amount of money I saved my parents on like computer repairs and building PCs as I learned stuff, like more than paid for that first PC. So like it became kind of funny later on in life.
Sure. That's awesome. As you got older in like the college age years, were you still playing a lot of PC stuff? Was there a multi MMO or anything that you were into?
Yeah. I have more hours in WoW than I like to admit.
Sure. I love hearing people's time with WoW, because it's the same story for everyone. I wish if
my total like days played, this is not hours, this is days when you do played in WoW, it's got to be over 1,000.
Yeah.
Like 1,000 days of just sitting. That's like 3 years of playing WoW over 15, spread out over 15 years.
And right.
Like, there's a lot of idle time while you're just logged in, but not actually playing. But even still, like, that's a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you add up the number on all your characters, it's like, it's a scary, scary number. But I played that pretty much from when I was able to get into the beta initially before it launched.
Oh, wow.
Up through Legion, I had a sub constantly, and I was playing it to some degree of how serious I was for on and off for quite the entire time. And then after that, it just kind of started fading, and I finally got out of it after the latest couple expansions. And I kind of don't miss it. It's like, I don't miss the wrangling herds of people to do raids and get everyone to get along, have their schedules line up. So, you know, it's a pain trying to
raid. Sure. Yeah. It's fun though, right? Like there was something to it. It's just,
oh yeah.
No, at some it was point, a, it becomes.
I don't regret the time I spent there. It was a ton of fun. I did some mythic raiding in Legion. I think it was Legion. Yeah, because it was in the Nighthold was the instance with a mythic group, which is the highest difficulty. And we did, I remember we did one of the bosses, like you're supposed to do it with three healers, two tanks, and the rest DPS with 20 people. We're like, well, we're missing a healer tonight. So what if we just do two healers and then bring an extra DPS? And we did that and we still got it down. It's like, you're not supposed to be able to do that because this was still when it was really fresh content, but like everyone was so good. And then shortly after that, the guy who was the guild master left the game and the whole guild just fell apart after that. It's like once he was gone, he was the glue that was holding it together. So
sure. Do you remember your introduction to speedrunning or even Twitch?
I don't really remember my introduction to Twitch. I do very clearly remember my introduction to Rando. And it's not the same story that most people have with Andy and Christos. Like I did watch them eventually, but first time I was doing it, I was watching my buddy who is a mod in my channel, Seawalker. I was watching him streaming and he was playing Zelda, except he had a Mario sprite. I was like, what the hell is this? And then he's like, oh, this is Rando. It's like, stuff can be anywhere. It's like, how is that even possible? What do you mean stuff can be anywhere? It's like, yeah, you just start the game and go open chests and you could find a hammer in Kakariko, or you could find a glove in Link's house. It's like, what? That doesn't make any sense. So I did that. And then I found it on Reddit, started doing some of the weekly asyncs there. It was kind of where I got started learning how to play.
Eventually, what year is
this? This has got to be around 2018.
Okay.
When I was first starting to like just casually play the game and learn the game and pick up Link to the Past, because I hadn't played it since I was a kid at that point. But it's like, I don't remember, like the game wasn't that hard to play. It was pretty straightforward. Walk around and slash at things. Like it's a lot harder to go fast while you're doing that, but the game itself is not as hard to play.
So were you watching Twitch already?
I mean, occasionally I would watch here and there, nothing, not a ton, but like I would watch just things here and there. Like if there's a game I wanted to kind of watch a preview of to see, is this something I want to buy? Like I would just kind of search the game rather than the streamer, find someone that was playing it and look at it like, hey, is this interesting or not, and go from there. But then
so after, you weren't watching streamers basically at this point?
No, not really, but like after I saw my friend Seawalker playing, I started looking up more Rando stuff, and I found speed gaming, and then I was watching, I forget what years it was, it was the 2 years back to back that Andy won the main tournament. I want to say it was 2018 and maybe 2019 or 17 and 18. I remember he ran 2 years that he won back to back, and then a third year he ran, and finally, like, he didn't want to run that year or something, but he wanted someone to be able to say that they beat him, something to that effect. But it's around after that second tournament that he won, I started watching it more and playing it, and like my first seeds were taking like 3+ hours, sometimes even 4.
Sure.
You watch them play, it's like, how do they do this in an hour and a half or less? This is insane. But keep at it. And next thing you know, stumble across Kern doing office hours, and then Ladder started up around the same time. And he's like, yeah, just submit a VOD for review and I'll, you know, tell you what you did right, what you did wrong, and how to improve. And I'd be like, well, okay, I'll run a ladder race, get my ass kicked, and then I'll submit it to him and see if that can help me get better. And I would do that a bunch. And like, if he didn't have someone already lined up, like, well, I'm just going to run one and submit it. Like, I don't want to monopolize his time. But if he was missing content, like, I would gladly give him a race to review. So.
All right, so I'm going to slow things down. Yeah, I'm going to slow it down a little bit because I'm interested in where you first started with, you know, watching your friend play and being like intrigued by it. Did he tell you to go to the Discord, or did he tell you like about the website, or did he just Google it?
I want to say he just told me about the website. He's like, yeah, just go to alttpr.com and you can download it. And like, okay. I already had a collection of SNES ROMs.
Sure.
So like just, hey, point to this. Like, all right, cool.
So how did you get to started. Reddit instead of Discord? Cause I feel like there's a mix.
Was just more active on like when I would be browsing stuff on the internet, I just was more active in Reddit. Like if I wanted to look up information about a game, that's where I would go.
Sure.
Whatever the game might be, like Reddit was, that's just where I went. Like there's always going to be good information there. So I don't know how much, like you didn't realize at the time, it's like there's not that much going on in the ALTTPR Reddit compared to what goes on in Discord. Like it's night and day, but there's enough to get me into the game, get me hooked. And then eventually I would find the main Discord and be like, oh, there's a ton going on.
Were you doing like the async stuff? Were you asking questions? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, like I would run it. I would sometimes watch a VOD from somebody who had a better run and try and see like what they did and just try and figure it out. But like mm-hmm. I was always stuck around just being a little over 2 hours was about the best I was able to get to on my own.
Sure. Because there's not a lot of resources on Reddit, right? Like there's not.
Like you can ask questions. There's people there. You can ask questions. And like I still see it today. Like people that are playing super casual be like, hey, I'm stuck. I think I have a broken seed. It's like, well, no, you don't have a broken seed. That's not a thing. Like, unless you're doing insanity entrance, there's about 0% chance that you have a broken seed. It's not possible. You're missing something.
Sure.
So,
okay. So how long are you doing just the Reddit stuff and the stuff on your own before you get introduced to Discord and start getting more involved?
Probably about a year and a half or so. I think the way I stumbled into the Discord stuff was like Kern had posted about office hours on the Reddit. I started watching him there. Somehow that landed me in Kern's Discord. And then from there, you just start finding links. You find the main one. And he had mentioned the mentor tournament. And I was like, wait, what do you mean mentor tournament? What is this? And so I started Googling that. And then I found out. And that's how I got into the GMP Discord. It's like, if they ever do this again, because this was after the very first one. So it's like, there's no guarantee they're ever doing it again.
Right.
If they ever do this again, like, I'm going to submit and I'm going to join that and I'm going to try and get good at this game. And that's basically what happened as soon as it was available. So and I was like, please don't disqualify me for having played too much because I had ladder races already. Sure. So,
yeah. So you joined the mentor tournament then, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is this the class? Is this the 40 bunks class that you're a part of?
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. In 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's me, Leo, Jesse, sort of. He didn't actually join the tournament, but he kind of got started in the community around the same time. Vortex,
CJ.
CJ. I mean, CJ doesn't play anymore, but you know, and you started at the time, it was a CJ's. Whatever awesome fun server, and then named it 40 bonks, and you know, I guess
it just became the place
history from there. Yeah. It just is the place that everyone from the 2020 year just kind of gathered because that's where we had a home.
Sure.
And they, I give all the credit in the world to CJ, which I kind of hate to say in public, but he did a really good job getting that community set up and started and letting it thrive. So now it's kind of there's a place like we welcome anybody who wants to join. So
sure. So this is 2020. Mm-hmm. We're all stuck at home. So obviously more people are playing rando. You join the mentor mm-hmm. tournament, you start making friends. Tell me about that experience in the mentor tournament for you and how quickly, you know, cause I would say that from the outside, the 40 bonks are really good friends with each other, like actual friends.
Yeah.
More so than the game. Even
I think part of that is just, because of, you know, everybody working from home and not going out as much because of all the COVID stuff, like mm-hmm. we just interacted, even though it was online, like we were hanging out with each other every day, pretty much. Like that's like no one, there was nowhere to go. Nothing was open locally. So just hanging out online and we just, you know, we talked to somebody that many days in a row for that long, like you're bound to become friends.
Right.
And then you just kind of grows from there.
Sure. So tell me again about your time in the actual mentor tournament. Did you find yourself growing in
yeah.
your skill, and who was mentoring yeah, you? Do you remember?
I definitely did. I had Gamachu, Shireen, Kern, CJ was for one of them. I'm trying to remember who else, or that might have been the whole list.
I mean, Gamachu, Shireen, and Kern, that's a pretty good trio.
It's kind of a who's who of rando back in the day. It's like,
sure.
I found the good name. The funny thing is, like, when I first joined, like, Shireen reached out to me and be like, hey, I saw you joined. I just wanted to reach out, see if you needed anybody to mentor you. Like, I didn't have a clue who Shireen was at the time. I had no idea. I was like, yeah, sure. This is my schedule and we'll talk. Yeah. Then yeah. I started talking and doing the races. I was like, yeah, you know, it's, if you want to do good in mentor tournament and get a Shireen route, I was like, that was fun. Like, if you can survive and go where he tells you to go, you're going to do well.
Yeah.
But then when you get to the unmentored stuff, it's like, now you got to remember, like, what would he tell me to do right now? And kind of figure it out on your own. It's such a different world.
Yeah, for sure. I bet he recognized your name from Reddit, because I know
he could have.
Sure,
he does lurk there.
Yeah.
I know he lurks around there. I've seen him post occasionally, so he may have seen my name there before.
That would be my guess. So how'd you do in that tournament?
I was in the gold bracket.
Nice.
I only lost, I want to say, three games. It might have been either two or three games. And they were both to Floyd, who later turns out
right.
got the old boot. So
right.
I don't know what would have happened if he had been caught sooner. I don't know if he was cheating back then. I have no idea. That's, I just kind of assume, cheating, like, right? Even if he wasn't there, like, I'm gonna run into Schkupel, and I'm not getting past Schkupel. Schkupel is terrifying. He got good so fast.
Yeah, dude's really good.
Like, I'm pretty sure he was pretty much at sub 90 NMG level by the time we were in brackets there. Wow. If not, he was really close. So, like, I was maybe putting out like 145s to 150s and thought, that's pretty good for a newbie.
Sure.
So,
I mean, it is pretty good for a newbie.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's not bad, but compared to someone who's doing sub 90 on the exact same content, like,
right.
Yeah. Like, you're saving 20 minutes over me just by moving better. That's insane.
Yeah.
How do you compete with that?
So did you find it was a good place for you to learn? I know that's kind of a silly question, but
yeah.
The mentor tournament really did its job in one, introducing you to racing, and then two, preparing you for what racing was like competitively.
It did a lot. And I think Jesse says it really well, is like, it gets you prepared for racing, but it also just gets you introduced to the community and gets you socializing with people and kind of gets you that group of people that you start talking to.
Right.
But it's both. And like every year they improve that tournament so much. The first year I remember people were like, oh, I kind of went one and done, because they just like went straight into brackets. And if you lost in the first round, well, thanks for coming.
Right. Like, you're not really learning anything that way.
You didn't really get much out of that. So they changed it up and made it Swiss into brackets for our year. But when it was my year, it was the first two rounds of brackets were still best of one. So I lost that race, and like, well, that's that. Like, I don't know that I would have lost two in a row if it was a best of three. I think I could have put up at least a three game series, but you know, we'll never know. I lost the first game, so that's the end of that.
Yeah. So you're racing now. You got a community with, was it called 40 Bunks right away, or were you guys just hanging out in CJ's Discord?
It was CJ's Discord. It was somewhere in the middle of that 2020 class. We named it 40 Bunks. It happened pretty quick. So effectively it's been 40 Bunks the entire time.
Okay.
Like that was part of CJ's things. Like he couldn't dash cancel to save his life. So he's like, yeah, we're just, we'll start a league team. We'll call it Team 40 Bunks. And we always get 40 Bunks, and that's, will be our thing. I was like, okay. But I was like, well, how about making that just the server name? It's like, that worked out really well.
Sure. So you talked about league. You guys ended up joining season three. It was you, Leoria, and Windfox for a different team name, right? What was your team
that
name?
That was under Please Clap.
Okay. And the Please Clap name is based off of
is it Jeb Bush? No. So that actually came from doing Jackbox.
Oh, okay.
We were doing Jackbox with Oro, I think, and some other people. And it was doing the robot rapping game. And I couldn't think of anything for one of the rounds. So I put autocomplete for the last line. And the last line was, please clap.
Please clap.
And it was so stupid. We just started laughing. Like, oh my God, that was amazing. And then we had already, me, Leo, and Winfox had already been talking about making a league team. So I DM'd them and I was like, hey, that's our team name. We're done. Just like that. And that's, I was like, nobody had a better idea. So I was like, yep, that'll work. So that's what it was. That's how that got started.
So tell me about your first experience with the league. You guys start in the open. You go 10-4, make the playoffs. Had to be feel pretty good about your first season.
We had a good run. Like, I couldn't really ask for more for a first time out. Like, we did really well. I think we were only a couple games away from getting invited in that first year. Like, and if had that happened, like, JKLOL may not exist.
Right.
If we had made it to Invitational the first year. So it's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
But we were really happy with how we did.
Yeah, it looks like you went 6-2. Just a really strong performance. You guys come back for season 4. Winfox goes to another team. You guys bring in Jesse, and things kind of go pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, we just kept, like, grinding and practicing and racing pretty much every single night. With, like, one or two days a week that we would take off, but we would just constantly race. We did well. We were pretty well prepared that year. I know the story's been told from Leo and Jesse when they were interviewed, but we pretty much ended up picking up SMZ3 during league season because we had burned out on practicing so much. And, like, we were tired and we felt like we were already prepared. And, like, we would still play from time to time, but, like, SMZ3, you're also still playing Zelda.
Yeah.
So, like, we would do that. We'd learn the SM Hundo route to learn where all the items are in Super Metroid, and then, hey, now we can play SMZ3. Not well, like, not fast. We're not sure. going to be competitive in it, because SM is a really hard game to go fast.
Very hard, yeah.
It's another level on top of Zelda, so, but it's fun, and it is playable, so.
Man, it sounds like you guys had a blast that year. I mean, because season 3 and 4, I'm going to say 2 and 3 happened in the same season. Season 4 was in 2021. But within that 18 months span of time, it felt like you guys were playing a lot of rando, really building some friendships and even moving into stuff like SMZ3. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we were just playing a ton. Like, it's been good times the whole time through. Like, it still is. Like, we still play a lot.
So you guys only lose 2 games in the regular season of season 4. Going into the season, did you guys think you might get called up to the Invitational? And were you okay, like, playing in the open?
So, like, we had talked about it, like, hey, if it happens, would we do it? Yeah. Like, I'm not going to speak for my teammates, but, like, was I expecting it? No. Like, there's, when I think the Invitational teams, like, I feel like I'm getting close, but, like, at the time, I didn't really feel like, am I there yet? I don't know that I am. Like,
I would say
maybe I'm too hard on myself, but I always felt like I still have so much I need to learn before I'm going to be able to be competitive with that level of players.
I want to say your team was definitely in consideration for Invitational for season 4.
Yeah, I feel like I heard rumors that we were in consideration, but, like, I don't. Like, I have no idea. Like,
we were cool playing in the open. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if we got it, cool. But if we don't, we'll just go earn it. Like, we'll do what we can, and we're going to try our best to get there one way or another.
In a way, I'd rather
earn my way there too, because then people can't say, oh, you just got a lucky call. It's like, no, we went runner up in open league. Like, we earned this.
Yeah.
We deserve to be here.
That was a hell of a season. You guys only lost 2 games in the regular season, and then you beat the Rando Babies. You beat Zelda and Chill.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like you went 5 games against Oops All Foxes, and you got the win there. And then you came up against Bottles on Empty and took a loss. But once you got to the conference finals, you knew that you were going in the Invitational the next season.
Yeah. So it was kind of like, we still wanted to keep going. Like, we're not right. just because we made it that far. Like, we don't want to give up there. But
right.
once we made it, it's like, there was a level of pressure that's removed. It's like, hey, mm-hmm. we met our goal. Now we're just, let's see how much better we can do. And let's just have fun at this point.
Yeah. What's cool about season 5, you get called up into the invitation. It looks like you guys made the playoffs as well.
We did.
Which is, I think that's super awesome. I think both you and Bottles on Empty had gone from open to invitational mm-hmm. and then made the playoffs the and next had good year.
Runs. Yeah. Like our attitude going into that season was just, we don't want to get relegated. Like mm-hmm. we don't want to be ping ponged back and forth between open and invitational.
Yeah.
And like, you see all the names that are in invitational. Like, I respect the crap out of everyone there. Like, they're all so good. And we know how, what we were in for. It's like, this is different.
Sure. And the division that you were in was interesting because of how close we were everything in, was.
I weren't, if I remember right, weren't we in the division with the team that won the whole thing?
Yeah, you definitely were.
It was rough.
You ended up losing two okay dudes in the first round, which
they put a whooping on us for sure. But like,
I mean, they put a whooping on everyone.
They're insanely good players. Like, I don't feel bad about that at all.
Right. You can't, like, if you're going to lose to anyone, lose to the champs, right?
Exactly.
And so.
And like, any, honestly, anybody in Invitational League, if we lose to them, like, doesn't feel like, it feels bad because you lost. But after, like, your initial reaction is over and you look at it, it's like, yeah, you know, they're really good at the game. So it's, that could have easily gone either way.
And right.
they earned that win. So
definitely. I mean, they went 12-2 in your division. And then if you look at the rest of the standings, WJPDTB went 8-6. You guys went 7-7. Beats from the East went 7-7. And Begon Pop went 7-7. So
yeah,
a bit of parity. I mean, like, one team,
it was a rough division for sure. And we basically got into playoffs by tiebreakers. So
that's awesome, like, though.
We love the races we need to get in.
Yeah. The competition, though, right? Like, it's not, mm-hmm. it's not anyone that was blowing. Three of the four teams that made it were either tied or game within the lead. And then, gosh, even Go was one game out with 6-8. So it's like just a whole bunch of teams and just.
Yeah.
Who's gonna win? That's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. There were so many teams there that all came from either the 2020
right.
tournament or just 40 bonks in general. Like, there was mm-hmm. a lot of us in that division. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's always better to play with and against your friends for sure. Mm-hmm. What about like tournaments others outside of the league, one-on-one tournaments? How's your performance been there in relative to how your expectations?
Usually they're pretty close to in line. I was disappointed this year that I didn't make main, like, and I'm happy with the performance I put up in Challenge Cup. Like,
I mean, I would you got have rather place.
Been in main, but yeah, like getting second place in Challenge Cup is like, there's tough runners in there too. Like, I'm not the only one who didn't make it who felt like they probably could have if they just do a little bit better on their asyncs.
Sure.
So like, it's still getting that far. It's tough.
Let me ask you this. Do you hate Alex Jass now?
No.
Because not only did you played him in the finals of the Challenge Cup, I want to say you guys were playing.
We just played in 80 keys as yeah, well.
Yeah, that's right.
And he had game two of the Challenge Cup, I'm salty at myself.
That was the one that against
Alex Strauss.
Yeah.
I just derped. I had him dead to rights in that race. I should have won that. There should have been a game three, but
that was the game where you were in Ganon and you ran out of magic. Out of
magic. Yeah. Yeah. And I thought I still had enough to get that last shot off. And you see the little bar of magic in there and you go to light the torch with the lamp. When does the lamp not work when you can see magic in the bar?
Right.
Yeah. And you just hear that dit-dit, like, oh no.
Yeah.
Like, you know who you're playing. You can't do that. There's just no way. You can't get away with that. So
sure.
Like, you fall and you flute, you keep going and hoping for the best. But then, you know, the dot gun came in. It's like, yep, that's not surprised. I'm just forfeit right here. So
sure. But you gotta be proud of the performance. I mean, second place is nothing to sneeze at. I mean,
no,
it's a lot to win. I don't care if it's main tournament, Challenge Cup, Kaz Boots. I mean, all of these tournaments
are insanely difficult. They're insanely difficult. Yeah. And like, there's a certain level of luck you have to be able to win a tournament.
Sure.
Like, there's an amount of skill you have to be good enough to capitalize on getting the luck. But at the end of the day, like, someone's going to go to the right places first. Mm-hmm. And if your skill levels are remotely close together, like, the person who makes the correct choice is probably going to win more often than not.
Right.
It's rare that you're both going to make the exact same choices unless that all the seed lets you do. Sometimes that happens.
And right.
Then it becomes an execution race. But like, that's also part of the fun of rando, is that anyone can win on any race.
Definitely.
Like, if we just wanted the best person to win every time, like, go race NMG. That's right. A different world. Like, then it's, yes, there's a little bit of RNG with AGA, but for the most part, it's get good or you're going to lose.
Right.
Like, there's no, you can't, like, well, there's no gamble to make. It's just like, well, I'm going to go to desert first. Like, no, you're not.
Right. So as far as like volunteering and doing things outside of just racing, have you been on the council? Have you applied for the council? Or what about tournament management? Have you done any mods or admin stuff there as well?
I ran the Lightspeed tournament.
Right.
I kind of ran that on a whim, a couple of years ago. And I've been wanting to do another one. I just haven't had time because of all the other tournaments and stuff I've been doing. It's hard to keep time to do that as well as do all of that, especially with, you know, work picking back up. It's been tough. But I did that. I've been an
admin. I like that tournament.
Yeah, it was fun. Like, it was when I did the survey afterwards, I think the only negative comment I got from anybody afterwards was actually from you, just saying, like, everything was great, but I didn't care for the mode, and maybe you might not run it again. And I don't know if that's changed between then and now, if I ran another one, but like, if that's the worst anybody had to say about it, like, I'd say it was a pretty big success. Like, everyone was happy with it. So it's like, if the mode's not for you, it's not for you. That's like,
that's not even a complaint to anybody. That's not a complaint against the tournament. Like,
no, not at all. It's just like, it's like, yeah, everything was great, but it just wasn't for me. It's like, all right, well, like, you know, hey, you tried it. If you don't like it, you don't like it. Like, no one's going to force you to play.
Yeah. It was a fight. It was like a small tournament, well run. It was, I think the best part about that mode is that it's not long. You know, you get done pretty quickly.
Yeah, that and being async focused for the entire tournament was like, that takes all the scheduling pressure out of it. Like, I know some people decided to schedule and race life anyway because it's fun, and that's fine. But when you just plan to async everything for something that's not serious, it makes it so much easier to just be like, well, I'll just run it whenever, you know?
Yeah. I can't believe I lost to GFE in the finals there, though, because that dude complains about luck too much. he's always talking about how lucky I am, and then he got super lucky.
That
guy.
I mean, it's light speed. Make one play and like, you're gonna win. It's whatever.
Yeah. I definitely had fun. What about the council? Were you ever on the council?
I was never on it. I've applied more than once. I just never got on, and never going to now because the council is no more.
Right.
I did apply to admin for TARC. If that doesn't go through, like, I have no idea if it will or not. If that doesn't happen, I'll probably try to apply to help out in whatever they end up setting up whenever admins are selected. Like, there's going to be other roles to apply for. Like, I enjoy helping out and doing things as much as I can.
You were a mod for the league, right?
I was. Yeah. I was a mod for the league last year. I'm a mod for the Casual Boots tournament last year and this year. And I am a leader in main tournament for this last main tournament that just happened. And that's supposed to be on track to become a mod or an admin eventually in the future. Oh, okay. So we'll see what happens there.
Can I ask you this? Because I don't understand it. It feels like the main tournament has like a million different roles. Like, what's the difference between an admin and a leader and a mod leader?
And there, honestly, I kind of agree. There are a lot of hats in that tournament, probably more than there need to be. At the end of the day, admins are the ones that are in charge, right? They're the ones who have all the power and make all those big decisions. Leaders are, I guess you could kind of say, super mods. Some of us, when we applied to be admins, and they brought us on as leaders first to kind of see how things run, how things work, get a feel for it. And then, you know, then when they are ready to add people, that's kind of the pool that's going to be pulled from for mods. And that's not the case for everyone. Some of the leaders are just like, they are in the leader role, but they're really kind of like, I think Pool Float is a good example. It's kind of like the lead of restreaming, that kind of thing. And Reg, it's kind of the same situation. I don't know that there needs to be quite that much hierarchy of admins than leaders than mods. Like, it's a lot, but like it does work. And having that many people does kind of reduce the workload too. Sure. So.
And it makes sense when it's explained on what it is you do. Like, basically, a leader is an admin apprentice, right? Like, you're learning the ins and outs of what it takes to be an admin for.
And like you look at the names of the admins in the main tournament right now. Like, there are a lot of them are names that have been around for a very long time, and some of them are just, they're ready to pass it on to someone else. Like, and that's good. Like, you're not going to be doing this forever. Whoever it is, like, eventually you're going to move on.
You also shouldn't be doing it forever, honestly.
No, you shouldn't.
You need fresh blood. You need people that are current, that are, you know, a part of
If nothing else, to me, the most important thing for whether you're a leader or an admin in any tournament or community is you still need to be active in that community. Whether you're an active racer or you just playing casually, like, you still need to be around and active. Because otherwise, how do you know what the community wants if you're not part of it?
Totally.
Like, you're just telling people to keep doing what you used to do back in the day. Like, things change. Things need to adapt as new stuff comes out. So,
I mean, I think that's true in the situation that we're in, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, it absolutely is.
You know, the council's gone. We're just about to vote on who the new admins are to date the episode. And, you know, you and I chatted a little bit for the admin application episode, where it was a little more formal.
It was a little less, a little more structured than this. It's like talking about yourself, trying to sell yourself. That's the word. Talk about stuff I've done forever. That's fine. Trying to sell yourself on something is so hard. It's super such hard, a man. Difficult thing it to is. Do. So, and like, especially with it just coming, like, you posted in 2016, like, hey, I'm going to do this thing. I'm like, hey, that sounds like fun. I'll do it. And I DM you right away. And you're like, all right, let's do it now. I was like, okay. Right. It's like, shoot, I wasn't quite prepared, but you know,
the JKLOL crew had the least amount of time to prepare, because Leora even helped me come up with this question. So you had a little bit more time than she did. But
we were all on voice when you had posted that. Like, hey, Fear just posted a thing. Like, we need to probably ping him and be like, let's get in on this. It's because we know we had all applied. So
So outside of you're trying to sell yourself, what's your take on all that's going on with, like, the council and TARC and all that? And how do you see it going?
I mean, I think this is going to result in some needed change. Like, things were getting kind of stale the way they were being run. I think for the most part, things were running well, but we were kind of at a point where something was going to happen, whether it was what did or something else down the line. Like, it was eventually going to blow over. And I think it was on the round table, like, people said, like, council kind of has served its purpose already. We got our rule set, and I think the rule set needs to just be more a set of guidelines and let the tournament organizers kind of be the ones who take control of that power. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that has any kind of the responsibility for their power, or like, if they make a choice that is bad for the community and bad for their tournament turnout is going to go down. It's like, they have a vested interest in getting that answer correct. So if we have a starting point of a base set of rules, it's like, hey, this is what we have. I think the one thing that a lot of people have agreed is just, you know, maybe add Specky Clip to it, making that legal, leave everything else as is. And if tournament organizers want to do something different and it's popular and it takes off, then just update that rule set.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it necessarily needs to be, like, you could take a community poll to see what do people want. And if it's overwhelming, like, I kind of had joked with Leo and Jesse a little bit about this, but like, if it's overwhelming, you could call it the 69 rule. If 69% of the community or like more it. Votes one way or another, like, there you go. Then that's the way it'll be as the default rule set.
Yeah.
But that doesn't stop anybody from running a tournament with different rules.
Sure.
And if enough people are doing that, then you just update that rule set to reflect what are most people doing.
Yeah, I think that's
kind of my vision.
A smart way of running. I mean, we just sold it. Stop the votes. Kaysden's in. I think running it in a way, I feel like there's too many people trying to change or stop the wheel and change what rando is.
Yeah,
and it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Like, you could try, but it's not going to happen. The community polices itself already. I feel like the council's gone and racing's still going on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's because, like you said, the tournaments really run things more than anything.
And I do think also, like, and I think we touched on this before, like, TARC can work with someone to set up like a cheating investigation squad. And I do think that needs to be independent from TARC.
Sure.
And I've heard a lot of people talk about it being anonymous, like not knowing who is actually on that. I think a big part of that is like, it should be its own secret Discord. Like, the admins of TARC should not have visibility into what cheating investigations are going on. That's going to compromise it, you know?
Sure.
Like, it should be a private effort, but at the same time, it's hard if it's too private. How do you know that everything is being done in good faith? Like, you have to get the right people that are trustworthy in there. It's a tough question. So
that's my problem with the idea. I've seen this tossed around, like, the people that are cheating or investigating cheating need to be secret. Right. I couldn't disagree more. I want to know exactly who's investigating cheating. And I want to know, I think there was a lack of transparency with some of the stuff that was going on in council.
Yeah.
And I feel putting it on Front Street, not all investigations, but investigation conclusions should be
more public.
And we know who did it. Like,
I think I mostly agree with that. There is a little bit of concern that I would have, like, if you reveal too much, you could tip off other people that are trying to cheat. Like, what are they looking for?
Sure.
And it gives people ideas how to avoid it, which you don't want to do. You don't want to make it any easier. You don't want to give people ideas. Hey, how can I cheat? Maybe I see a hole in the process. You don't want to do that either.
I think there's only a couple different ways of cheating. There's ROM inspection. There's screen sharing watching other people's streams.
There's ROM inspection, whether that exists or not, and to what degree, I have no idea. I'm sure it's out there, though. True, there's stream snipe. People can stream snipe, or you could have a friend that's running it side by side and feeding you info. Those are the ways. So
exactly, those are the three ways. So saying that this X person was caught cheating for stream sniping or whatever, and we came to the conclusion without giving the specific details, I think is okay, but at least making public what they were doing and who was doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that I honestly want to know who investigated them, because if it's like, I don't know, if it's people that I don't trust, I don't know if I will.
Yeah. Want them. And also, like, is it people that, like, you could be like, hey, wait a minute, these people have a direct, like, conflict of interest where of course they're going to want to get someone removed. Totally. And I was like, I don't think people would act like, I want to think the best of the community, and 99% of people are doing things the right way, but what if, you know, like, I don't even understand why people would cheat at this game. Like, you're literally cheating at a game that has no prize. Your prize is just one.
I wish I could understand it.
It's so stupid, but
I just can't. I just don't understand it, because it's so much. You just,
like,
don't get
it. If there's money on the line, okay, I get it. Like, there's money on the line. So SG, okay.
Sure.
But beyond that, like, what are you gaining? Is it just to, like, inflate your ego? Like,
I don't know, man.
I don't get it.
I really don't get it. I don't either. All right, so what's your relationship right now with racing? Do you feel like you have a good relationship going forward with racing? Are you still racing a lot? Do you plan on entering a lot of tournaments and stuff?
Yeah, no, like I'm trying to lean more into my kind of self-imposed rule of staying in one tournament at a time, which I keep breaking.
Sure.
Because I was just in Challenge Cup and then 80 Keys came up. So I was like, I had to join that. And then Cross Keys came up and like, well, I'm already in two. I'm going to take a pass on this one. Plus, I'm not good at Cross Keys. So I managed to get out of that. Now that I'm out of both of those, I get a bit of a break. Probably the next tournament I'm going to be doing is League. I don't think there's anything between now and then.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't have any plans on going anywhere. Maybe just start doing some ladder now that I'm not doing anything in particular.
Sure. Yeah, I think you've shown that you're a really good quality runner, and it would kind of stink to see you not play the game, honestly. Like, yeah, I'm excited for JKLOL first season six. I think you guys are going to have a really strong performance.
I am too. The modes this year, I feel, are a big improvement.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of people coming back that might have skipped out last year.
Yeah, I agree.
I do not envy the admins trying to figure out, like, I think we found out last year there were 8 teams that were invitational the year before that bailed.
Yeah.
And if those 8 teams come back this year, what do you do with them? Because I don't know that there's any existing teams that weren't relegated that aren't going to come back. You get 4 new teams from Open that come up, like they're probably going to take the spot that they earned, I would think. And then what if you have 8 other invitational quality teams coming back? What do you do? Like that?
I don't think there's going to be that many.
Open League could be terrifying. Or like, do you expand invitational? I don't know. I have no idea what their plan is.
There will be turnover. I doubt 32 teams come back for the invitational, or that the 32 teams that get the invite will be there. I think there'll be. I thought there'd be close to like 8 this season before they announced the modes.
Okay.
Now that they have announced the modes, I think it's closer to 4. I think there'll probably be like 4 teams. Fair.
I think minimum of 2. I think 4 is probably the high end of what to expect.
Yeah.
Somewhere between 2 and 4.
Yeah.
But if you get more than the same number of teams coming back, like any one of those teams that stepped out last year, if they come back, like any one of those teams are invitational quality.
Yeah,
straight up.
That's a big question.
That's the scary part is when you throw them into Open League, like do you just throw them in and let the bloodbath begin? Or like is Open League just become just as scary as invitational at that point? Like what do you do? It's tough, you know?
It'll be interesting. I'm excited for League Season 6. I think
I am too. It's always so really much fun, especially with all co-op playoffs. Like that's such a good idea.
The
best change they've made. Like
that's I love huge. It. It's like so I was good. Saying to them, I was talking to some of the admins. Like I wish I thought of that. That's such a good idea.
It really is.
And now that the pendants don't mean anything, you guys can put your pendants in correct order and get.
We can put it in the correct order, or we could just screw with everybody and do it in the wrong order just to be jerks.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we're almost certainly we'll put it in the right order finally. So
sure. All right. Going to ask you the tilt question that I ask everyone. How do you handle tilt, whether it's in the middle of a race or at the end of a race?
In the middle of the race, if I get tilted, I just start assuming I've lost and it makes me play worse and I hate it. It's like after the race, I think I deal with it better. Like I'm one of those people that I can take a loss pretty hard at the moment, but like a few hours later or the next day at the latest, like I'm over it. I just move on. Like I don't hold on to it. It's just a game. Mm-hmm. We're here to have fun. Like I just try to keep it in perspective. It's like part of what we like about this game is that like anybody can win. Just because somebody beat me doesn't mean I played poorly. It's just maybe it's just the way it went. Like maybe they made that one off play. Maybe they're making crazy plays because they think I'm better and they need to make a play. Like in a way, that's kind of a compliment. So kind of look at it in that side too.
For sure. Such a good approach. I love it. I wish I could have that same approach, but for some reason, mentally, it just wrecks me when I lose.
It's tough. Like I get it, but I do think it's good to just try and keep that in perspective. It's just a game, and like, even if you lost, you get the same prize as the person who won.
Totally. So,
except for maybe some fake internet points. That's about
right.
It.
Right. Yeah. No, it's such a good, healthy perspective to have that, you know, is something that a lot of us could use, is just keeping that in perspective and knowing that, like, you know what, it is just a game and it's okay that you lost. And my personal value doesn't need to be tied towards whether I win or lose a rando game. Like, just let it be what it is and have fun with it. And through that, you could probably have more fun racing, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show. I had a blast. And
I did too. Sorry
you were the last of the JKLOL. I should have maybe done Leoria last, but I'm just kidding.
you could have got us in order. There you go.
Yeah, man. Thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it was fun. Thanks for having me on.
Big shout outs to Kazen for coming on the show. Really appreciated him joining us. And I just really enjoyed talking to Kazen. I love how chill he is. I love how laid back he is. I love his approach. Yeah, I just find him to be an awesome dude. And it was really cool to hear his story. So huge shout outs to Kazen for coming on. So this Thursday, we'll have the Mario Draft episode. And then next Monday, we have Sabotender. If there's an episode that you have to listen to and you listen to no other episodes, it has to be the Sabotender episode. Sabo is just the best, and I had so much fun chatting with him. So excited for you to hear that. So come back next week and hear from Sabo and his amazing story, and just an awesome dude. I love chatting and hanging with Sabo, so don't want to miss that. That's next Monday. Make sure you join the Discord. 216pod.com has the link to that. Football is this week, so super excited about that. We've got 216 Fantasy if you want to follow along with that. And if you listen to this before games kick off on Thursday, when week one kicks off, we did open up a 216 Survival football pool. There's no cost, it's just for fun. Super easy. You don't have to follow along to all the different players. You pick one team to win that week. That's all you have to do. The catch is you can only pick that team once each season. So if you say pick the Chiefs for week one, you can't pick the Chiefs the rest of the season. So you got to be real strategic on how you pick your teams. And if you lose, you're up. It's that simple. Super fun, though. Survivor pools are always a blast. So there's a link to it in the Sports Talk channel of the 216 Discord. So check that out there. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. We're available everywhere. If you could leave us a review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, that helps the show out a lot. I think that's going to do it. All right, come back Thursday for the Mario Draft episode, and then next Monday for the Sabotender episode. Really appreciate you all listening. See you next time.